The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, and Sean Mapes with you as we roll along. And our friends from the bench, John and Lance, were out in Aggieland this morning. Ooh. They were able to catch up with head coach Jimbo Fisher. And we'll get to some of the discussions we've been having with Aggie fans in a second. Let's start with Jimbo talking about one of the Texans' rookies, Kenyon Green, and what they're getting in him.
I think Love is getting a guy who loves ball. He's a team guy, which is different than, you know, anymore. A total team guy. I mean, this guy, you're talking about played all four positions and would do it weekly and never say a word. Right? Where do you need me this week, coach? Who's bumped? Who's bruised? These young guys around me, putting him beside younger guys to play. I mean, the things he did, but also a guy that's very powerful. He's a big body guy who has great lower body flexibility. He has power, but he also has length. He can pass block. He likes ball. He learns well. And I think a guy that's going to play up there for a long time.
It's certainly cool to hear all those things, and those were the things that we read about in his draft profile. What sucks is that he's banged up right now, and we're not really 100% sure of what's going on, when he'll be back. This is always a terrible time to miss if you're a rookie, because this is the most hands-on experience you're going to get as an offensive lineman during practice time leading up to the season. I mean, there's a lot of OTA work, and it's walkthroughs, essentially. Mini camp, it's the same thing. And a lot of training camp is walkthroughs too for offensive line play, but you do have the full padded practices, and those are massive. You're already really behind the eight ball as it is compared to the NFL and the past CBA if you're an offensive lineman, just because you don't have as much practice time as you used to have. I know a lot of offensive linemen coaches are pissed off about that, and I would imagine there are some veterans who think to themselves, you know what, like, these guys that I'm seeing in the league now are not getting nearly the kind of immediate training that they need that I got in the early years of my career. There was only a few guys probably left that actually got that, you know, like Dwayne Brown being one of them. And he's not even on a team right now. So I am a little bummed out about the Kenyon Green situation right now. You've been seeing a lot of Max Sharping at guard instead.
He's still a thing, isn't
AJ,
he?
AJ Can also has been in there too. He's number 60. So you want to see Green out there. You just haven't.
People say training camp sometimes doesn't matter. Training camp's boring. For guys like Kenyon Green,
and I would say a lot of the cases it is, especially for offensive linemen.
For a lot of the veterans, it is. I mean, it's hard on the body. It's hard on the mind. They were talking the other day, Jason McCourty on Good Morning Football, about how many training camp retires happen with people never even knowing about it because it's lower level players, guys that have been in the league for 5-6 years that just kind of bow out. For guys like Kenyon Green, it matters.
Yeah.
And so I agree with you. We'll have to see what happens there. Jimbo said all the right words, team first, all of that. We know that about Kenyon Green because we saw him play so many different positions. I think the word versatility gives me PTSD because I covered Bill O'Brien.
It should. It should give you PTSD. It is not good to move offensive linemen all over the place. So Jimbo Fisher is saying, hey, he can do all these things in a pinch, but you do not want your young player to move from one place to the next to the next to the next. Ask any veteran offensive lineman. It is an uphill battle when you first get into the league to learn all the new things. Things that have been so simplified, too, over the last couple of decades in college football, where it's done in a way where it's designed to be as easy to grasp for a young player as possible, both from a blocking perspective, from a running routes perspective. So it's a critical time, and any time missed, it just sucks because you know that it's going to be that much harder for that guy to, you know, pick up speed as the season goes along. And here's the thing. If you want Davis Mills to develop as a quarterback, do you want one of the interior offensive linemen right in front of him getting pancaked over and over
again. Yeah, putting it nicely. Which rookie, Paul and Sean, do you guys think will have the biggest impact year one? Now, obviously, we know about John Metchie III. You know, he's out as he battles leukemia. But there's a couple of different options. Who do you guys think?
I think it's narrowing down, and I think this was a good day for Derek Stingley Jr. today, which is very encouraging to see because I haven't been thrilled.
You are the Derek Stingley Jr. critic.
Yes, it's been, and look, he's a young player. It's new, but he's getting a ton of attention from the coaching staff. So he is going to get every possible bit of advice he possibly can. It's a matter of him picking it up. And it does seem like he's moving around a little bit more quickly. But for the sake of just saying, okay, I'm going to pick the guy that's out there the most. Can't do Kenyon Green. Can't do Christian Harris, either the linebacker out of Alabama. Right now, for me, it's between Damian Pierce and Jalen Petrie. I consistently hear, good job, Petrie, out there from coaches. Just consistently hear it. And Petrie does seem to be trusted not just in a, he's out there with the starting defense perspective. He is also out there on special teams, too. I think he's going to do a lot this season. Where with Damian Pierce, the running back out of Florida, I think there's a lot to get excited about, but there's a crowded running back depth chart, and I think that he'll play, but he won't get as much playing time as we all probably want.
Sean, who do you think makes the biggest impact as a rookie for the Texans?
I think Stingley just being out there as much, like he is going to be like a starting cornerback as long as he's healthy for the Texans this year. I think, I mean, impact maybe both in a good and a negative way, where there probably are going to be some matchups where he's just overwhelmed because he's a rookie and really probably asking a little bit too much for a guy, you know, who also barely played in college to now step in and guard some of the best receivers in the league. And so I think Stingley, just because he is so clearly part of the future and you want to get him as many reps in games as possible.
Right.
I think he's just going to be out there so much.
Pharaoh Brown has slimmed down.
Yes,
ooh,
he
look
has.
At that. I'm a poet and I don't even know it. He reportedly told media that he gave up Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce to lose 18 pounds this offseason.
Wow.
I don't know how Sweet Baby Ray's can have that big of an impact on your diet, but apparently it did.
Well, there is a lot of sugar in barbecue sauce.
But was he having it that much?
I'm assuming that you're just slathering everything that you have in it. I used to be a big barbecue sauce guy. I rarely have barbecue sauce anymore.
Why is that?
No real reason. I just kind of drifted away from it. I am the sauce that I have the most is A1 steak sauce. I think
love
it's fantastic with, because I like do basically, I have like ground turkey burger with pepper and garlic powder sprinkled on it, along with like a couple of slices of bacon every morning. And I think that the A1 sauce just goes perfectly with turkey burger.
Okay, so the wheelhouse asked a question, which was it what food would you have to give up or what sauce?
It was written as what sauce, but we can do what food.
So, yeah, because the sauce, I mean, I eat a lot of ranch and then occasionally honey mustard, but I don't have one that I really stick to. What food would I have to cut out to lose 18 pounds? Zero question, Mexican food. I will eat Mexican. I did it last night. I said I was going to eat healthy.
But was it authentic?
Last night. It was like half authentic.
Okay.
It was a new place that I actually really liked called Flora. It was good.
Okay, so it wasn't El Tiempo or Ninfa's, the most authentic.
Love Ninfa's. I hate you. Love Ninfa's. They have a great burger. Like
though, Chewy's, though.
Chewy's is Tex-Mex. Tex-Mex is not the same thing as authentic Mexican food.
Okay.
It's not.
Now we're moving the goalposts.
This is the Cinco de Mayo segment all over again.
Okay, so I would have to give up Tex-Mex and authentic Mexican food to lose 18 pounds. And it would be very hard, and I don't know that I could do it.
I know very easily.
One of the reasons these curves are kicking.
What I need to give up.
Okay.
Booze.
Oh, yeah.
That is the sauce.
Yeah, that is a sauce.
The sauce.
You are getting sauce too much. Mm-hmm. Mine probably is ice cream. Just
interesting.
Oh.
Someone offers ice cream. There's ice cream available. I'm like, please and thank you. And if there was a training camp for radio producers and I came in the best shape of my life, it would have to be because, like, yeah, just cut out ice cream.
Favorite flavor?
Good question.
Coffee for me.
I like any of the chocolate fudge ones. I also, there's a, what's it called? Cherry, like, cheesecake kind of flavored one. So I'm getting a cherry cheesecake in ice cream form. There's no way that's healthy for me. If I stop eating that, I will lose 18 pounds.
I like a good pralines and cream from Baskin Robbins.
I don't even know what that is.
And then just in general...
What's a praline?
A type of nut.
Okay.
pralines and cream, and then kind of like what Sean said, anything like with like dark fudgy chocolate.
Fudge, yeah, that's the key word is fudge.
You put that fudge in there, and then I love. There's nothing better than soft serve from Dairy Queen on like a hot day.
Or when the like a restaurant will have a soft serve machine, and it's just like, yeah, go nuts.
I hate soft serve.
Love it.
Because it melts too quickly, and I don't know. I guess I like the texture of like just frozen ice cream. Mm-hmm. Soft serve, for whatever reason, it's funny because it tastes exactly the same for the most part. Like, there's different texture. But like soft serve, for whatever reason, just kind of grosses
me out. But could you ever give up these things? Like, could you give up booze?
I had to give up ice cream. I mean, I can't do it.
Well, not ice cream, but booze. Like, your Achilles heel.
Yeah, your thing. Not my thing.
Oh, fair enough.
And I'm the same. I do dairy-free.
I used to do this annually, and I haven't done it in a couple of years. I blame the pandemic for it. It's unprecedented, uncertain time.
Good call.
But no, in 2019, 2018, 2017, 2016, I took a month off from drinking each of those years.
Nice.
Yeah.
And a month off. And dry funny, January?
No, not dry January. It would usually be right after my birthday, and I would just take the entire next month off. And what was funny is like I was like, oh, wow, I can almost see my abs. I could start drinking again.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just like.
Could you do it, Sean?
Slowly, more and more.
I could. It would have to be a full effort, but I could.
I couldn't casually stop. Yeah. Nope. Couldn't do it. Because all my friends like Mexican food, too. All right. The biggest pro football contest, guys, in Vegas, back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. You have two ways to win and no rake. It's the Circa Sports Millions with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. So you make 5 NFL picks against the spread each week. You get 1 point for each correct selection and half a point for a push. $1 million for the first prize winner. There's over $3.5 million in cash prizes for entries 2 through 100, plus more payouts for other place finishes. We also have a little Survivor action going on. You guys know how these Survivor contests work. So you choose a different winning team each week straight up without the spread. Once a team is chosen, of course, you cannot use it for the rest of the season. There's only one winner, an additional $1 million bonus for going undefeated. Do you have a trip planned for Vegas? We do. We're excited. Go to the Circa Casino and Resort while you're there to enter this contest. You enter in Vegas, and then you play from anywhere. Visit circasports.com for details.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit hrp.net today. Back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Well, this Halloween weekend, Misfits are coming to Dallas at the Dos Equis Pavilion for their only headline appearance of 2022.
Ooh.
Caller number 3.
You can use your eyes.
To 713.
You have LASIK vision now.
I just got LASIK, so I should. 713-780-3776.
1, 2, 3.
Wins a pair of tickets before you can buy to see Misfits with special guests Alice Cooper and the Distillers at Dos Equis Pavilion in Dallas, Texas.
713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN.
Hell yeah. Tickets go on sale this Friday at LiveNation.com. Not going to lie, that was rough.
Reading is hard to... Sometimes I do it.
That sounded very Forrest Gumpy. I'm insulted. All right.
Mom always used to say I couldn't read worth a damn.
Great movie, by the way. I heard somebody online say that Forrest Gump was overrated. I'm like, that's one of the movies that's not overrated.
Two things about Forrest Gump. First off, apparently it's not at all like the book. Second, Jenny is the worst.
Jenny is manipulative. There you go. That's true.
She is more than manipulative.
What do you mean? Gets HIV?
It's kind of messed up that her whole life, Forrest is showing her nonstop love. And I'm not saying like, hey, she has to love him. But then when she's dying and has a baby, she's like, oh, I'll accept you, Forrest, now. I will accept you. Here you go. Let's live together. And also, like, doesn't tell Forrest he has a kid for years.
Yeah, that's messed up.
There's a lot of messed up about it. I get it. She's got a tough upbringing. I get it. But she's terrible throughout that
movie.
One of
the best moments in movie history of the last 40 years is when he realizes that Forrest Jr. is this kid. Oh. And that look on his face, it's just so compelling.
I thought you were going to say when she died, because that was,
whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
That was
all
my
right.
favorite part of that.
Paul Gallant, lover of death. To the surprise of no one, NFL owners and the league are not happy about the Watson contract being rigged to avoid losing compensation. We've heard this narrative from everybody from Diana Russini to Adam Schefter to people that reported initially when Deshaun got that massive contract, which was, you know, set up to where he could serve a suspension and not lose money, that people were not happy about this. You have to remember, owners were also not happy about the amount of guaranteed money that he got. So that situation in general irritating a lot of people around the league.
And that means that Watson's getting suspended a full year. When they eventually come to that decision, I will be shocked if it's anything less than 17 games. I would even wonder if it's a little bit more than 17 games just because of the way that the contract was structured, because everyone's pissed about it. They're also probably mad about the whole $230 million, $180 of it being guaranteed deal too. But I think a lot of owners across the league are going to put a ton of pressure on Goodell to punish the Browns for trying to weasel their way around this.
Where are we at with this? I mean, it feels like we
haven't heard anything in a couple of days.
I haven't heard anything at all. Yeah. We do know that the NFLPA ended up giving their briefs or whatever to the guy that Roger Goodell appointed.
Very strange to give them their briefs.
Okay.
Just take off their briefs and give it to them.
Everybody says that it was supposed to be done. It was supposed to be expedited, and that's why Roger Goodell wasn't handling it, because poor Roger didn't have enough time to get this done.
That's what they said. I think really they just want it to look like Goodell didn't have a hand in this at all. I think it's all about optics so that the NFL Players Association maybe can't use it against them in the next collective bargaining agreement discussions, because this will come up again. It'll be like, oh, well, we thought that Goodell was going to not be as hands-on with the disciplinary process. Well, this gives them plausible deniability. So I think it's about that.
Jerry Jones had spoken, and we touched a little bit on this, but spoken to Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram about the fact that the NFLPA included him in their brief as an example of owners being held to a different standard than players and basically getting off easy. He said, quote, "It is a standard Players Association comeback. That is the drill. That is the drill to go around to say you didn't punish such and such." Anybody would know that every player case and every case that involves non-players in the NFL are dealing with dramatically different principal facts, which is all the difference in the world. He said it's shooting volleys. What do you think on this? Because Jerry Jones has kind of a victim complex about, well, of course they include my name in it. But I understand why. I'm not pro Deshaun. I'm just saying I understand why the NFL included his name in it.
I think that the way that he tried to skirt around it like it's just a volley, that's a bit ridiculous, because the NFL owners have gotten away with a lot. It is a fair point that is brought up by the Players Association. They are not being punished in a similar fashion. There was nothing for Robert Kraft. I get it. With Robert Kraft, there were things that were inadmissible in court because they were illegally obtained by police. But do we think nothing happened there? Do we think that nothing's happened with Jerry Jones and some of the many storylines that we have found him involved in over the years? Shoot, let's go a little bit further. Let's talk about everything Daniel Snyder's done. Wow, he doesn't have control of the team anymore, which no one believes because his wife is now in charge of it.
God bless you, Tanya.
They are right in bringing up that there has not been equal accountability for owners outside of maybe that one time, like Jim Irsay got popped for having the trash bag of drugs.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because I'm always hesitant to say this because I know people say it's because I'm a Colts fan. He might be the one that actually got punished properly. I think it was 8 games, and I remember his oldest daughter, Carly, actually legitimately had to run the team, and she did a good job. He might be the only owner that you can look back and say, he got punished. I don't know if I want to say properly, but he got a suspension that I think most people thought, okay, there was a quote-unquote issue, and Roger Goodell actually made, you know, an example out of him would be possibly the term.
It felt like that. And
it hasn't happened with Daniel Snyder. And Daniel Snyder, I'm sorry, what he's done for decades and decades is way worse.
To Irsay's credit, too, he has seemed more sane.
Totally.
Since then, that's, of course, not a very high bar to clear given his past before, but he does seem like he has matured in his 50s.
Owners have a deal where it's like, it seems like protect the shield. And you and I have talked a lot about that. I don't think it's a secret. When will that finally break to the point to where they say, we can't have Daniel Snyder in this ownership group. We, you know, are tired of this, this, and this. Do you think other owners are talking to Roger Goodell right now, trying to influence what
his opponent they are, but they're all paranoid that they're going to get cannibalized. Because yeah. If one guy goes down, well, okay, what if there's a bunch of owners that hate another owner? Isn't there a way that those owners could force that guy out? And the only guy that we've seen forced out of ownership is Jerry wriggling them jeans for me, yeah. Richardson. And that was a situation,
what was it,
Blue
Jean
too,
Friday?
Though. Right, where Dave Tepper bought the team, and like Dave Tepper's loaded. So it's not like Richardson was really punished. I mean, he sold the team away. He doesn't have an appreciating asset anymore. But I also think that that might have partly been because they looked at Richardson and thought, maybe we want him doing less.
Right, right. And we know that there's new ownership with the Broncos group with, what's his name, from Walmart, and then Lewis Hamilton. Condoleezza Rice is joining the ownership group. So it's constantly changing a little bit, but those main owners, you know, they have those one per meetings where only the main owner who owns the most stock can come.
Yeah, and it's not the NBA. Someone brought up Donald Sterling. You know, it's just there is yet to be a precedent set where this is how we can actually spank an owner.
But the NFLPA, I think, brings up a good point. Whether you agree with the show, and Joy Taylor kind of broke this down in a really intelligent way, where she talked about, it's not supporting Deshaun or agreeing with what he did allegedly. It's just saying that it needs to be more consistent. To your point, even with the owners, have more consistent punishments for the owners.
I would say, though, if you're a players' union, you should be better. And, I mean, you get all the off days you want now, which possibly is detrimental to the actual product of the NFL. Off days are fun, but you are the ones who set this up in a spot where, first off, you don't really get true independent arbitration when it comes to something that you might have done. And you also didn't negotiate for anything to seriously, I think, hold owners accountable to the same things that you're held accountable for.
The latest Pro Football Talk tweet says, my current mostly wild guess on the Deshaun Watson final punishment from the NFL, 12 games and $10 million fine. That's Mike Florio, of course. Do we believe 12 games and $10 million is possible? 12 seems low to me compared to what some of the owners wanted, which was indefinite.
That was the lowest proposal that was made by the owners, so maybe that's the compromise that the owners go back to, but I don't know. I don't know why they would want to go back to that compromise that the Players Association didn't want when they were starting with six.
Deshaun said no to that, right?
Yeah, which is so ridiculous. Yeah, I don't want to get suspended for 12 games and fined $10
million. $10 million is a lot. I mean, $10 million's not maybe a lot for Deshaun with that new contract, but $10 million would be a huge fine in the NFL.
It would. Wouldn't it be great in life if you did something wrong, allegedly,
and you're $10 million to spare?
Well, that too. But if you're getting punished, and you're just like, no, I don't want that. And they're like, well, we'll think of something.
I would like to just negotiate a punishment once. I've never heard of that. They were like, they
not even with your parents,
maybe? I mean, maybe with my parents, but like,
that's really the only situation where you would ever be able to do that.
But also, you're negotiating, like, with my parents, it's like negotiating against old school Roger Goodell, where it's just like, no appeals process, here's the punishment. Where you say your piece and they're like, okay, we take in account, no change.
Mr. and Mrs. Mapes putting the hammer down.
Yeah, but they look at who they raised.
It did all work out. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a name change in a stadium and what it could mean for quarterbacks in the NFL. Plus, another quarterback, he's on the struggle bus. That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So I worked in Cincinnati for 2 years, and Paul Brown Stadium, it's just an iconic name. It's hard to imagine it being some, you know, called something else, but that is the reality. It will now be Paycor, P-A-Y-C-O-R, Stadium. This comes, of course, as the Bengals have an uphill battle in getting the finances to pay one Joseph Burrow.
Because they're poor.
They are poor. They're notoriously cheap.
I think it's pretty amazing that they had not renamed the stadium to insert generic corporation in their entire history, right? It's always been Paul Brown Stadium, unless I'm
correct.
Misremembering. What was it, Waterfront Stadium before when they played in the donut before they got that they shared with the Reds before they moved over into this brand new stadium, or at least relatively new stadium? Yeah, that's weird.
It's going to feel weird. It's not going to feel right, but I think when Joe Burrow, hopefully they lock him up again, it'll feel just fine. Bengals president Mike Brown, on his franchise, losing the name of his father off the team stadium, said, quote, "This is a move that I think my father would have agreed to. He was always for what is best for the football team.
My father always held me down." That's why it's actually happening. You just don't want to admit it. It is surprising that they're changing it. Look, though, it's a new time. It's a new era for the Cincinnati Bengals. This is totally not just a one-year thing, them making it to the Super Bowl. Now they got white helmets with their white jerseys. Everything is fine in Cincinnati, and there's no way it could ever come back to Earth.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I told Sean, I was telling Sean when I was at the Super Bowl, I still couldn't believe that the Bengals were there.
I can't. I still
watched
can't.
Them play, and I was like, what?
I still can't. Though I did think it was interesting to see what Patrick Mahomes said yesterday. Did you see this, Vanessa?
I did not.
Where Mahomes essentially went on a long diatribe about how he feels like the Chiefs stopped trying. Like they were playing not to lose.
Mahomes said that?
Yeah.
So that's the whole, we were bad, so I'm going to act like we weren't trying? I didn't even like her anyway.
I got that vibe out of it, too. I understand the idea of
they really like her
playing it too safe. But yeah, I mean...
Sounds like Paul.
I don't play it safe.
No, you're right.
I'm just kidding. They did play it safe in that game, but I don't know. I feel like it's discrediting the Bengals.
It 100% is.
I hate it when teams do that. It's not quite, and I'll never forget this, because they played this at the Jumbotron, the first game ever that was played at Gillette Stadium after the Patriots won the Super Bowl. They just kept on playing this clip of Cordell Stewart saying, well, sometimes the better team doesn't win.
Right.
And then the Patriots, like, took out their skull and, like, ate from it.
What was it, J.J. Watt last year that said maybe we're just effing better than everybody, and then that was when they were 7-0.
With the Cardinals, right,
that
yeah.
That was really, really rough.
But that one is understandable because they're 7-0 and people were naysaying, where this is, you lost and you're trying to spin it in a way where you actually should have won. Grant Williams did this with the Celtics against the Warriors. Oh, we were the better team. Shut up. You right. lost. Like, and I like Patrick Mahomes, but I...
No, me too, but my favorite is we beat ourselves. I hate when people say that. It's like, no, the other team did technically beat you. Even if you made mistakes, and I know I've probably said it before. If you go back in the archives, you could hear me saying the Texans beat themselves, whatever. In other quarterback news and other team news, Washington Commanders quarterback Carson Wentz has experienced a lot of ups and downs in training camp. There are multiple reports that he's throwing interceptions, that he's having issues. Yesterday, Ron Rivera spoke with the media there and said, quote, "There's a lot of little nuances that we see and look at to get review. There are some inaccuracies, but it's nothing that we are overly concerned about."
Hmm.
So, I don't buy it. I think they see what's happening. I think they're concerned. I think they have a good offensive coordinator in Scott Turner. I think Ron Rivera seems like a heck of a nice guy, but I don't believe in Carson Wentz, and I've made that very clear. So it led me to this
you're just biased
question.
Against North Dakotans.
Which current NFL starter do you just not believe in? And it doesn't have to be a quarterback. I mean, it could be a different position.
Does it have to be a guy of a certain status?
He has to be a starter.
Has to be a starter, okay.
Yeah, because if you tell me you don't believe in a second-string running back, I'm going to say whatever.
I feel like we also can't be like, I don't believe in Zach Wilson. Like, that's kind of cheating. Like,
right.
Unless you believe he's got that dog in him, because he Allegedly,
but everybody has the dog in them. Laramie Tunsil said everybody has the dog in them.
I agree with that. Yeah. That's the correct take on everything.
Right.
Well, it's funny. I just clicked on ESPN.com, and the first thing that pops up, Sean McVay sitting in a lounge chair with his arms back.
Yes. I said this photo reminded me of a photo you would take if somebody did a
story on you. I am not happy about, because I would at least smile. I don't like it when people don't smile in the photos that they post online. There is a demographic that doesn't do that, and I've never understood why.
That doesn't smile?
Yes,
because every
photos,
now and then you post up a serious kind of face thirst trap.
I don't get it. There are some people that pose online and like they refuse to smile. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you trying to show me your heart or something like that? I don't get it. Is it a sign of weakness to smile?
No.
I also don't like it when people don't look directly at the camera when they are having a photo taken of them, unless they are unaware that the photo is being taken of them.
Right. So it's like a fake candid.
Right.
I also do not like fake candids.
Fake candids make me lose my mind. But yeah, there's a picture of Sean McVay, and I don't buy into Sean McVay. I feel like he has been put up on this pedestal because he's a young, handsome coach that manicures his beard more than I do.
Right.
Which is saying something.
That is saying something. So you're going with the coach instead of a player. Are there Sean Mapes, anybody that you just don't believe in the NFL that everybody else seems to believe in? And I guess I couldn't say, because not everybody believes in Carson Wentz, but he's getting another shot. I don't understand.
It's Washington, though.
Yeah, it is. That is like the, like, I don't know. You're on your way out of the NFL
right.
Once Washington puts it a chance. I don't know. Like, Ryan Tannehill just... I've just never been like, even the upside on Ryan Tannehill, I'm like, yeah, he's fine. Like, that's as good as he'll ever get. And I don't understand why people are like, no, but actually when he went in Tennessee, their offense became the most efficient offense. It's like, yeah, because he's pretty good and they have a great running back and good receivers. Like, I just don't see like Ryan Tannehill ever winning you anything.
I got one. This is an actual player.
Okay, there we go.
An actual player?
An actual player.
Okay. Is he active?
He
Are you going to say Johnny Manziel?
I don't believe in Johnny Manziel. It's just not going to happen with him. What other quarterback could I say that's out of the league? No, here's one. Dak Prescott.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, I always was, and this is funny that you bring up Carson Wentz to get us back here. There were many times where I thought to myself, Carson Wentz has been an MVP caliber player before. He can reach that again. And I was in denial that he would reach it again for a couple of years. And it always led to conversations about who's better, Dak Prescott or Carson Wentz. And for a time, I would say, well, I like Carson better. The thing with Dak, and especially going forward now that he had a year coming off of that ankle surgery where he just didn't seem to trust his legs as much. Without that mobility element being fully incorporated into his game, it's hard to buy into him as being this top eight, top seven quarterback that he's constantly put into the conversation of. And then factor in this, that the Cowboys receiving core is pretty damn shallow right now. I think Michael Gallup's banged up. James Washington just had an injury. And it's like really just CeeDee Lamb and I guess insert whatever Cowboy tight end you want to. Prescott's, I think, a guy that should definitely be raising a lot of eyebrows, and I would say specifically up in Dallas.
There you go. Big news for the Jets. Their offensive tackle, Mekhi Becton, has a kneecap injury. This is per Aaron Wilson and
yeah,
the other.
A weird term.
A small chip-sized fracture in his previously surgically repaired right knee.
Ow.
Second opinion testing pending. And Robert Saleh just said about 2 minutes ago per tweets that it is believed that he's done for the year.
It's called like an avulsion
right.
or something like that. And I mean, you add this to Becton with that shirt that he wore. It's kind of unfortunate to training camp where it was basically just a list of all the haters that
yeah.
were coming after him.
Oh, that was Mekhi Becton.
Right.
Yeah.
And
he's got personality.
You had Robert Saleh and LaFleur, the Jets offensive coordinator, both being a little noncommittal with how they felt about Becton, about the shape that he reported to camp into it with. And it's interesting because like a lot of people gave Joe Douglas a lot of credit for getting this pick, feeling like they nailed this pick. And a couple of years later, it just has not worked out. And you could say it's injury, but this is clearly a bad sign for Becton going forward. I wonder if there's anything he could have done to prevent it. I feel like that might be unfairly placing the blame on him. But It's a bummer to hear that for any young player, that it's something like that. And when he's a big guy, you kind of wonder, well, is his knee ever really going to support him?
Well, and it's the previously repaired knee. That's what really stood out to me, is it's just like, man, you got no chance, it seems like, if that keeps getting injured.
Definitely.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a former Astro in some trouble. But here's the thing. I think you guys are going to like this situation. And of course, we'll get to our garbage time segment. But first, Paul Gallant's going to tell you about his friends over at PIN.
It is the situation. No, not like Mike from the Jersey Shore. It is the situation to get yourself in a full service real estate investment firm that gives you a 5-year plan. And you sit down with a portfolio manager, you go over your long term goals, they tell you how they can reach those long term goals, and then boom, you're done. I mean, you can be more involved if you want, but they do the hard work for everything when it comes to real estate investment. They find the parts of town and houses to invest in. They do the construction for you, and they show you day-by-day pictures through their app of how the construction is going. When the construction is done, they find the tenants for you and do the property management. You own the house, and they do the hard work for you. Huh. Sounds pretty awesome, right? The Passive Investor Network. I heard Vanessa off to the side. I don't know why I said that. The Passive Investor Network. PassiveInvestor.net today. Tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you to schedule a free consultation with a portfolio manager, or join them on their famous bus tour. Again, it's PassiveInvestor.net. That's the website. PassiveInvestor.net. Tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you. Stop laughing, Vanessa.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we are rolling along on a Tuesday. Paul Gallant, Vanessa Richardson, Sean Mapes with you.
Struggling to read.
We are having problems reading today. Plus my sound, for whatever reason, my headphones aren't working. But we're doing the best we can.
I have no snares. Are my snares? To quote Eminem.
How do you say this? Ayahuasca? Professor Mapes?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
I want you to keep trying it. I just wasn't going to ever confirm it.
Thank you. Which is the psychedelic drug that Aaron Rodgers says changed his life, made him a better teammate, lover, leader.
All you need is love and ayahuasca.
Is illegal per federal law, but is not a problem under the NFL law per both the league and NFLPA.
Think about the children. You know,
how is weed against it?
It's a good question, but you know, clearly Josh Gordon should have been doing this, or peyote, instead of marijuana, amongst other things, which, by the way, it was never just marijuana. There were other things involved.
Really?
Read up on him, yeah.
They probably just never thought that, like, oh, you know what? Someone's probably going to do DMT in the offseason.
Right.
Or, like, during the season.
Admit to it.
Someone's
going
to listen to Joe Rogan and try some things after the fact.
A lot of people, it was a popular conversation, all the talking heads talking about what's the NFL going to do, because they punish harshly for, like we talked about, marijuana, things like that. It's not as harsh, but still, he's admitting to doing an illegal drug.
It's a big wink-wink in the NFL, because they let you know relatively long in advance, if I'm not mistaken, about when they test you. And if you've never tested positive for marijuana before, you just test once a year, and once the test is done, you can smoke to your heart's content.
There you go.
But some players are a little more careless with it, and they don't really think it all the way through.
We'll see. I don't think the NFL is going to issue a response at all, but it's bold, and it shows that Aaron Rodgers knows that he can get away with a lot to just openly talk about this on, I believe it was Aubrey Marcus's podcast. Also said that Danica Patrick was a great girlfriend, that he would maybe reconcile things with his mom.
Wow.
Will he?
Oh, I thought you were going to say reconcile things with Danica Patrick.
No, I think he's moved on to the Blue Witch Lady. The Blue Witch Project.
Blue of Earth. Get it right. Yeah. That's so sexist of you. And anti-witchist of you as well.
You dated a witch.
Witches are people too.
Yeah, because you dated one.
Wiccan.
Shout out to all my witches.
Yeah.
Me and
Avada
all my witches.
Avada Kedavra. Expecto Patronum.
This. We touched on this. Are you a Ravenclaw?
Wingardium Leviosa. No, I'm Slytherin. You kidding me?
Oh, God. Everyone thinks they're Slytherin.
No, I am. I took the Pottermore test.
Everyone thinks they're Slytherin.
There's a test.
Am I wrong, Sean?
There's a test online.
That everyone
You're
wants
probably
to
Hufflepuff,
be Slytherin?
Nerd.
Everyone would want to be the two, would be... the one that Harry Potter was in.
There's a test online. You can
They want to be either the two main ones and not the two ones that got no screen time.
We're talking Harry Potter right now.
Was it Ravenclaw?
I wanted to be in Ravenclaw, to be perfectly honest.
Hufflepuff and then
Ravenclaw's
Slytherin.
Ravenclaw's the nerdy
and
one.
What's the other
Slytherin's
one?
The morally ambiguous, if you will.
Evil.
Gryffindor was the good guys, and Gryffindor. Hufflepuff were the nerdy losers.
Okay, I couldn't be
except
Hufflepuff
because
I'm not
Diggory,
a nerd. I
who
could
died.
Maybe be... What no, was Ravenclaw was like kind of edgy, right?
No, Ravenclaw is like nerds.
Oh, okay,
wait, so well, two of them are
yeah,
nerds?
No, that's
no,
not.
No, no. Ravenclaw's nerds, and then Hufflepuff was like... Like lovey nerds, like just dorks, I guess.
Okay, so I would probably be...
The only cool ones are Gryffindor or Slytherin, and basically you're part of a culture war if you're on either of them.
I'd probably...
I went to Slytherin. Does that mean I'm racist? I don't know. I can't say.
Which one was Harry Potter? Gryffindor?
He was Gryffindor, but he was said not Slytherin when he put the sorting hat on.
Not
you can take this test online, by the way, and actually figure it out
I'm
for yourself.
I'm saying is everybody it, says that they're a Ravenclaw or a Slytherin, or a Gryffindor or a Slytherin.
I legit am Slytherin.
Also, you're saying you can take this quiz on or take yeah. this test online.
It's official.
Like it's, yeah, like it's testing for, I don't know, ayahuasca.
It's,
like
it's, you, it's official.
No, it's not.
JK, it's J.K. Rowling's website.
Oh okay.
So it is legitimately.
I don't care what a transphobic person has to say.
I mean, listen. She's got some interesting takes on things.
Everybody says they're Slytherin. I know.
I'm telling
what,
you though. Just take the test. You'll
you
find out what house
Paul,
you're in.
Whatever.
I'm
makes
doing it
you
after the show.
Go
I will
to sleep
take this
at night. Yeah, let's
test.
Take the let's take the test. Another big.
Everyone's like, "What the hell just happened?"
Other than Harry Potter, we do talk about sports on the show. Serena Williams has decided to retire. Quote: "It's the hardest thing
great
that I could imagine. I don't want it to be over, but at the same time,
bludger."
I'm ready for what's next. 73 singles titles, 23 Grand Slam singles titles, 14 Grand Slam doubles, 4 Olympic gold medals, 94 milli in prize money.
Yeah, she's the greatest women's athlete of all time. I don't think it's close. I think we had a couple of people text in afterwards saying, well, maybe you'd put Gabby Douglas or Simone Biles or something like that. And I'm just like, I don't know. Serena was so much better than everybody else. Like, who was her contemporary during her time
right.
in tennis, and who has been her contemporary from before her career, where she stacks up all of these dubs? Like, I feel like there's a greater separation between her and the next best women's tennis star, and honestly, next best women's athlete, compared to any other sport, football, basketball, baseball. I think it's a massive
I like
that, chasm.
I like that the language that she chose to use in this article is that she's going to evolve from tennis. Because so many times when athletes retire, they act like their life is over. And I'm excited to see what she can do. You guys, we talked about earlier, she owns part of the Dolphins. She's been involved in a lot of philanthropy. So definitely, like you said, the greatest women's athlete ever. All right, it is time
She does MMA, like Herschel Walker.
There you go. Garbage time.
For a little bit.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I would think she would be good at that.
Oh, MMA?
MMA.
Incredible.
Softball.
Wow.
What sport wouldn't she be good at?
She'd be good at every sport. I don't know. Maybe swimming would be hard. She used to be really light, or ballet dancing.
Yeah, that might
really
be tricky.
Light.
Yeah, but she's powerful. Like,
yeah.
She's like an absolutely powerful person.
Packs a punch.
Yes.
Paul loves TikTok.
I do.
The genius of Gen Z continues they have figured out how to hotwire Kia directly. Kias and Hyundai, excuse me.
All you got to do is use a USB cable. It's a trend online, Vanessa.
Have you tried it?
I don't know, but like you're talking about how you want to get big on the TikTok. Well, how about in between now and the Astros pre and post, you just hotwire a car and say like, I'm doing the trend. And then like, you know, do the floss dance or whatever
the gritty. I tried
bastards.
To do the gritty.
I mean, the Gen Z
it
kids
didn't,
do.
Yeah. It didn't look good.
The gritty. What's the gritty?
The gritty's
the one that Jamar Chase, every NFL wide receiver does.
What's that? Though.
No, I'm not doing it again.
Why
not? I'm not being tricked into that.
You're not,
but
I'm
these
not,
kids
I just want to
did
see
this
it.
And smashed the Kia directly into the highway medium. It happened in St. Paul this weekend.
It's been happening a lot. Like So if you have a Kia or a Hyundai, I guess it sucks to suck. Like, you've got to deal with your car potentially being broken into with just a USB cable.
I like all the TikTok trends that are just like, hey, commit a crime. Because wasn't there one that was like Devious Licks was like a bunch of like high schoolers just stealing stuff from their school, like just stealing like toilets and stuff from their like high school bathroom. Yeah.
Honestly, stealing a toilet's pretty impressive.
That's what it would start small, and then like people would steal like the entire stall.
You almost have to have like a janitor in on it.
An inside man.
Maybe.
Somebody to look the other way, right? But like to steal a whole toilet?
Yeah, you can do it like after school. It clears out a little bit. Get a screwdriver and just, I don't know.
Sound like you're very experienced.
Oh, you know.
How many toilets have you stolen, Sean Mapes?
Let's not talk about my past. I'm not here to talk about my past. In the words of Mark McGuire.
There's a picture of me in high school, and when this picture was taken, I thought it was cute. There was a toilet out in my grandma's barn, and I'm sitting on the toilet, and my head's cocked. And I just thought that it was really cute, and I look back with so embarrassment.
Yeah, it was a picture of you on a toilet.
In a barn, meanwhile. Yeah. I wanted to read Kanye's Instagram post on the breakup.
Oh,
is it
deleted?
He might have deleted it.
Oh, well,
what was the gist of it?
It was a headline that read Skeet Davidson dead at age 29. Kanye posted that, and Kim Kardashian was very upset about it, per source.
Pete Davidson got their children's names tattooed on him, her and Kanye's children. Weird behavior. But you know what? Pete Davidson has something because it pulled Kate Beckinsale, pulled a couple other older women. Something tells me he's got that good.
Yeah, I've heard that
BDE.
Well, or just maybe BD. What I've also heard about, what I found interesting about this post, remember back in the day, if you were watching Nickelodeon growing up, the name Skeeter, multiple children's shows had like major characters named Skeeter. Doug Funny's best friend was a green boy named Skeeter.
That's right.
There was a television show about a puppet called Cousin Skeeter.
I loved Cousin Skeeter.
That was a good
Skeeter.
Show.
You just unlocked a major memory for me.
Core I have
memory.
No idea what you're talking about.
I loved Cousin Skeeter.
It sounds like you're making up a show.
No,
Cousin Skeeter
that
was a good
real.
Show.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You know what else I forgot about? Gullah Gullah Island. That was a good one.
Oh, I remember that. That was Nick
Zoo
Jr.
Zoomanfu.
Nick Jr., not Dick Jr. Wrong web point.
All right, that's going to be a,
yeah,
that'll
you know
be
what?
A show for
We're
us.
We're done. We can't we speak. We can't read.
And Joel Blake, The Killer Bees from 12 to 3 coming up on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Peace!